Thank you, Crystal. It's my privilege to share God's word with you this afternoon. It's our last, next Sunday is still New Year's Eve. I thought it would be my last sermon for this year, but it's not. Okay. Sorry if I sound a bit delirious, because for the past 3 days, the staff and the volunteers have been celebrating Christmas. At the cathedral, we have performances, carnival, food stalls, and it was a really tiring but fulfilling event. For church workers like me and some of you guys who are in the congregation, Christmas is probably not the most favorite time of the year. You know when's the favorite time of the year? After New Year. January, first week of January, when all of you go back to schools or come back from your holidays, we have a bit of a lull time where we can just take a breather and then we really get a chance to celebrate Christmas. Maybe we should follow the Eastern Orthodox. By the way, the Eastern Orthodox, they celebrate Christmas on a different day than us, because we are part of the Western calendar. For them, they follow the lunar calendar. Okay. So that was an exciting week. So, and tonight we also have a Christmas Eve service. If you are in town, do pop by. It's at 10:30 p.m. Come early, because there's always we're expecting about 2,000 people coming for that service. And tomorrow we have also a Christmas service at 11 a.m. at the Nave. So the title of my sharing today is on the best gift ever. I think I did a little bit of confession, right? Since Christmas is not my favorite time of the year. For church workers, before I joined the church, I look forward to Christmas. But before I became a Christian, Christmas was just another time for partying, festive making, and just indulging in good food and so on. But as I came to know Jesus, I found out the true meaning of Christmas. Christmas is more than the lights, the presents, the dinners, and the gathering. It's really about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the nave, if you've been to the old part of the cathedral, you see this beautiful altar screen. It depicts the nativity scene of baby Jesus born in a manger. That's what the Bible says. And that's Mary and Joseph. And there are three men. I shared with this with you last week. These three men, most people, when I ask this question, when I do tours, and people say, who are these three men? Immediately they say, oh, the wise men, because they bring three gifts. But they're not wise men, they're holding shepherd's staffs. So they are the shepherds. In the passage in the Bible, God sent angels to announce the birth of Jesus to shepherds, humble shepherds. So this is a very beautiful picture. And on top, there's the angels, chorus of angels, and proclaiming glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So it's really beautiful. So you get to see it at night, especially at night when the gold of leaf, they sort of glow, glimpse. So it glitters. It's really beautiful. But there are some other nativity scenes. Have you seen this before? This is called the hipster nativity scene. All of you are hipsters, right? That's why you come to 11:30. No, just joking. So we have Joseph doing a weefy, Mary with a cup of latte, and the three wise men on their Segway. And we have a free-range cow and a sheep in a sweater, because that looks cute, and a guy on his iPod or iPhone. So the modern version of the nativity. And of course, have you heard of this recent scandal? They had it in the UK. Greggs is a bakery store in UK. It's a chain of bakery. And they want to advertise their baked goods. And they use this in the place of baby Jesus is a sausage roll. Yeah, just to sell more baked goods. So there was a bit of hoo-ha and so on. And let's see what else. And of course, yours truly. Does this look... I was there 2,000 years ago. No. This was one of the nativity scene at last year's Christmas at Cathedral. It was on stage, and it's a bit biblically wrong. Can you tell me what's the mistake? We have baby Jesus, Mary. Of course, I'm not supposed to be there, but the three wise men, right? In the Bible, actually the three wise men, not the three wise men, sorry. They didn't mention the number of wise men. They just say wise men. So we do not exactly know how many wise men came. In the Bible, it says that the wise men came from the east, and they came much later when Jesus was probably already a toddler, yeah, and he's probably a few months old and so on. So some people, some cathedral members mentioned, hey, you are in the cathedral. We should be, presenting the Christmas story biblically. So they decided to change it, and we have our current nativity scene. Feel free to take pictures of it. So, and you have this. Yeah, there are some familiar faces there. Yeah, Michelle is our shepherd, and Darren is another wise man. But the people made fun of him. He looks like Loki in Thor, Avengers. Yes. So this is a more biblical, accurate picture of the nativity, because the wise men are not there. So the shepherds are there, and some people say, we always think that Jesus was born in a stable, a wooden structure, but some historians, they deduce that perhaps Jesus was born in a cave where they keep animals and so on. So it's very interesting, isn't it? Have you seen this before? It was 2 days ago in the Straits Times, a picture. This church in Italy, they collected some empty rounds, and they put a doll, a baby Jesus doll, in the midst of this rounds to make a political statement about peace on earth. There are 445 cartridges, empty cartridges, to depict 445 Roman Catholics who have been killed since 2000. So sometimes Jesus, Christmas, it becomes like the bakery, it becomes a very commercial entity. Or even for some churches, it becomes just a political statement as well. But what does Christmas mean to all of us? And the original Christmas, 2,000 years ago, was a bit like this. This is from the Nativity movie. I encourage you to watch it. It's a really very beautiful movie of how Mary gave her life. She was obedient to the call of God to bear the Messiah, to bear the Son of God. And Jesus was born 2,000 years ago in a very similar situation like us right now, in a very violent, very uncertain, and a very unwelcoming climate. These days, when you open up the newspaper or look at on the internet, so many events of conflicts, on uncertainty, of danger, and so on. And Jesus was born in that midst when Israel was conquered by the Romans, and they put a puppet king. King Herod was just a puppet. He was, and he had to pay homage to Caesar, to the Roman emperor. So the Jews at that time were crying out for freedom. Liberty! Freedom! And they were longing for a Messiah to rescue them, to deliver them. But actually, they were looking for a political Messiah. Someone who will set them free from the Romans. But God has another plan. So, what was his plan? Today, the passage for this afternoon is from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. Let me read it for you. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. So, how old do you think Mary was? 21, legal age? Probably, some speculate she was probably in her teens, 14, 15. Anyone 14, 15 here? all. All too shy to. Yeah, so she was a teenager. And she was from the house of David. Luke, the evangelist, pointed this out to the readers because of the promises in the Old Testament that the Messiah will come out, will come from the house of David. And if you read in the first chapter of Matthew, the long genealogy, son and son and son and son and so on, a lot of people skip that genealogy bit. But actually, if you read carefully, it talks about the lineage of Jesus Christ and talks about King David, King Solomon, and so on. So the virgin's name was Mary. And Mary was betrothed to Joseph. So they were sort of engaged. They were not married yet. Let's continue. Verse 28. And he came to her, the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Wow, that's an excellent greeting. I would like someone to greet me that. For the past 3 days, a lot of people have been greeting me and they said, "Hey, why you look like that? Why you look so down? Can you smile? Smile?" Because I was really tired, right? So instead of, "Hey, oh," instead of doing greetings, "Holly, oh, tired one, you know, the Lord is with you." They didn't do that. They keep saying, "Hey, smile, what happened? Did someone die?" No, it's just Christmas, that's all, you know. But anyway, just jokes aside. So Mary was the favorite one. "The Lord is with you." And verse 21, "But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be." I would also be troubled. If an angel were to appear to me, I would be very, very troubled. Verse 30, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.'" Jesus means God saves. Verse 32, "He'll be great and he'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." Again, the promise that the Messiah will come from the lineage of King David. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Ladies, if an angel were to appear to you, and this is the angelic commission given to you, what will be your response? Oh, my. What would be your response? You will cry. "I'm still a virgin," right? You'd be crying. You'd be probably wetting in your bed. I don't know. You'd be just like, "Oh, my." You'd be shaking out of fear. A divine commission that you will be carrying a child to be called holy, the Son of God. And you are a virgin. You probably took some, you learned about science in primary five. Oh, how can a virgin conceive? It's not possible. So Mary probably had some education as well. But the angel before that continued. "And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren." Oh, sorry. Did I miss something? Oh, yeah. Oh, no, sorry. And verse, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So Mary was perplexed, but she was obedient. That's what's the response. There are other passages as well that talks about how Mary was perplexed and so on. But Mary, as received the news, received that instructions out of obedience. And I like this picture a lot. This is can you just look at the picture? This is a beautiful painting. Sorry, I did not get the name of the painter, but Mary is depicted as very vulnerable, a bit alarmed, fearful. She's feeling that the weight of that divine commission, that she will conceive and she will carry that child. And her response was, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." If you were, imagine yourself in Mary's shoes. You're going to be pregnant with the Son of God. You probably, I got to study for my exam. I got work to do. All these things going on, they are all the mind. But she just, out of obedience, out of faithfulness, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And when Mary undertook that commission, she was taking a huge risk, even to her life. She was engaged to be to Joseph, and they were not married. They have not had a sexual relationship yet. So if Mary were to have a baby before she was married to Joseph, according to Jewish law, she would have committed adultery. And according to Jewish law, the punishment for adultery is death, to be stoned to death. But yet, Mary was willing, out of obedience, out of faith. And the promise that a virgin will carry the Messiah is recorded for us from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah wrote this. He received this prophecy 700 years before Jesus was born. But God revealed it to Isaiah. And this is what it says: "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And true enough, Jesus, he's Son of God. He is Logos, the Word of God. He came, he was conceived, he walked among men. He cried, he sweat, he bleed, he bled, he ate, he slept, and so on. He was among us. He was really Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. What an amazing name. What an amazing promise. So Jesus, as he was he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb, and eventually he was born. What was his destiny? What was his ministry? Mary, as the mother of Jesus, what was going through her mind? Can you just imagine? She only knows that this will be the Son of God. So she kept it in her heart. And we know, all of us, as we look back, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. Now we are modern audience. We know the story, the Christmas story. But Mary back then, and even the Jews, and even humanity, did not know the story of salvation. But we are looking back. And as we look back, we see this beautiful picture, starting with the Garden of Eden. We know there was a tree of life. But because Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were not allowed to eat the tree of life. So they were cast out. I shared this last Sunday. They were exiled. And so they are searching for meaning, searching for salvation. So thousands of years later, when Jesus died, he became that tree of life. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, let me read this for you. "When he was reviled," Peter was talking about Jesus, "when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself," Jesus himself, "bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." Adam and Eve were exiled. And all of us, in a way, are searching for that tree of life. The tree of life is on Jesus, who hung on a cross, on a wooden cross. That is the tree of life. By his wounds, you have been healed. It's a tree of redemption. It's a tree of reconciliation. And even Isaiah later on talks about this tree. Let me read for you. Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom he has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant. Isaiah was referring to Jesus, to the Messiah. And like a root out of dry ground, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. So Isaiah was probably speculating that the Messiah was just an ordinary man. And Isaiah chapter 53 verse 3 says, he was despised and rejected by man. That's our Lord Jesus. He was despised by man. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteem him not. So he was rejected by the world, by the man. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Stricken, smitten by God. Crushed for our iniquities. Verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. That's what Peter said. The apostle Peter said. And Isaiah, Peter repeated what Isaiah said. By his wounds, we are healed. Friends, Jesus is the greatest gift for you and me. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about Jesus. Not about attending a church service or exchanging gifts. Those are fun. But the greatest essence, the centrality of Christmas is Jesus. And this is a verse that most of us grew up knowing this verse. We are told to memorize by our Sunday school teachers. But that verse is so powerful. I've read this verse to people who are dying in their deathbed to encourage them that if they believe in Jesus, this life is not the end. There's another life. Receive this beautiful gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that you who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That invitation is for all of us, for your friends, for your relatives. In a way, we are all pregnant. Some people say I'm 6 months or no. I'm not, yeah. You can tell. Okay. Anyway, in a way, we are all pregnant. You know why we are all pregnant? We receive the gift like Mary. Some of us know Jesus and we receive that gift. But we do nothing about it. We don't give birth to anything. We're a bit barren. We receive this gift. We're happy that, oh, yes, we have a ticket to heaven. And that's it. We do nothing with the gift. But I want to encourage all of us. If you have received the greatest gift in your life, you are pregnant. Deliver it. Don't just keep it in the womb or in your life. Share this gift. Deliver it. God has, in a way, this gift has been conceived in our hearts. So, friends, what is our response? Back to that interesting painting of Jesus, of Mary. Mary could have just rejected this gift. Nope, I'm not going to be this gift bearer. I'm not going to be the mother of the Messiah. She could find another woman. But out of her obedience, out of her faithfulness, she offered herself to be the bearer of the Son of God, to be the earthly mother, to take care of baby Jesus, nurture him to be a child, a teenager, adulthood, and eventually to death. For all of us, we, in a way, we are called to be like Mary. We have received the greatest gift. Let's not just hide it in our hearts and only show it on Christmas or even on Easter. God wants us to bear this gift on a daily basis. Because you have the greatest gift. I want to end shortly, and I want to share this lyrics from this song, Mary, Did You Know? So for the past 3 nights, I've been hearing this song almost every hour. So it has become like an earworm. Mary, did you know? And, you know, last year, our vicar, Canon Terry, sang this song. Do you remember? It was very memorable, right? It was so memorable that every time this tune comes, I always visualize him singing it to me. So it's quite a scary and yet a joyful moment. Okay? So this song is in my heart, yeah? And I think it's very meaningful. And let's just read through the lyrics. It goes, Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you have delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you are holding is the great I Am. Let's just ponder over these words. This song talks about Mary, did you know? But you know, do you know? You know it in your heart that Jesus is the great I Am. Jesus is the Lord of creation. Jesus is heaven's perfect lamb. You know it in your heart. You know. If you do not know, this afternoon I'm going to make that invitation for you to know it fully in your heart so that as you carry on for the new year, 2018, you know about Emmanuel. God is with us. So I'm going to play this video of this song, Mary, Did You Know? But don't visualize Canon Terry, okay? Receive the visuals. They use some of the clips from The Passion of Christ and The Nativity and other Jesus movies, okay? But just receive it. Do you know? Do you know this Jesus?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great.
Sing We Are the Reason, the chorus. Let's sing this song as a dedication, as we offer ourselves, offer our lives. Can you just come to God? Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is also about you. What are you going to do with that gift that God has given to you? Do we just keep it and it reappears only on a Sunday or even on Christmas Day? Friends, I just want to encourage you. God is not looking for our talents or how we can, the money or what everything, or what we can offer to Him. He's looking at our lives. He's looking at our lives. God wants you to offer your gift of obedience, your gift of your life. Not just 70% or 50%, He wants 100% of your entire being to God. If in your mind you've been doubting, God, is that, are you really the true God? I just want to extend an invitation that this afternoon He's inviting you to surrender completely. No more playing church. No more being a passport Christian. He wants disciples. He wants obedience. Like Mary. As Mary said in response, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord." Would you be that servant? Would you be God's children, obedient children? So we're going to just, shall we just rise and sing this song, We Are the Reason? And may this song just, as a song of dedication, a song of offering, that for the new year, 2018, will be an exciting year where Emmanuel, God, is with us. So no more playing church. No more just coming on, being a Christian only on a Sunday. God is looking for full commitment, full obedience. So just lift up, surrender your struggles to Him. Maybe it could be a relationship, it could be a habit, something that you're holding back. Just offer it to God as a gift.